Blog Talk Radio.
There is a word especially for you. When you think you're about to give up gas, just read your Bible, it'll tell you what to do. Be not weary, in doing well, for in due season, you're gonna reap. Yeah. Say, be not weary, in doing well, for in due season, you're gonna reap now. Say, uh-huh. Oh yeah.
Good morning. Hello, welcome once again to our weekly internet program. I'm your host, Minister Joy Lewis, and you're listening to Free on the Inside, an internet program to inform you, to encourage you, and to challenge you to be all you could be for Christ Jesus. Not for yourself, not for your loved ones, but do it unto God. Oh, that's a beautiful thing there. Gosh, you know, a lot of that, we spend all our life, if not most of our life, trying to please other people. But have you ever considered to please Jesus? Put a smile on Jesus' face. So this morning we attempt to do that each and every Saturday morning, is to allow you to let you know that God have need of you. And how do you know about if God can still use you? Because you're still living. You know, you could be dead and gone. But he lets you live on. I'd like to thank you for joining in with me each and every Saturday morning. We have great guests on this one. We have terrific topics. And then we have you too. You know, you're what makes the show what it is. But the call-in number, if you care to call in and share this number with your loved ones and friends, that number is 310-982-4126. Again, that number is 310-982-4126. And I have my co-host will be calling in here if he's available, Mr. Daniel. He'll be calling in, and I love Mr. Daniels, and I love him being on the show. He always brings some interesting topics to the program also, and asks our guests some powerful questions. And so we're looking forward to having him to give us a call, and we go on with the conversation. But this morning, we're having an open line this morning, so if you would like to just bring something to the program, please feel free. We've been having some great guests for the last few years. But I wanted to just take time out, just say thank you. You know, we're coming up on 6 years of programming. You know, I would have never imagined that that it would be 6 years of me getting up every morning and speaking to you about things that's concerning God. And not only just me speaking to you, but other men and women that comes along and say, hey, I have something I'd like to share. Yes, I would love to do it. You know, when I first started this program, I was kind of concerned about, hey, you know, when it was presented to me, and I said, I don't know if I could do something like this. I don't know what to talk about, and I don't know if it even worked. And I went before God, and I prayed on it. And God spoke to me and said, yes, you know, you could do it. He said, you just get up, and I get you the guest, and I'll be your program director. That's where he spoke to me in my. So each week I come on here, and I do the best I can, and God does the rest, you know. It's a lot of guests that comes on. I have no clue who they are from the beginning of the week. And I go out and I talk to people, and I share with them what we're doing on the program. And then they say, yes, I'd be happy to be a part of it. So God is he's awesome. He's our program director. And now we're coming up on 6 years of being on Blog Talk Radio. We pray that you've been blessed. We have met a lot of great people. We have a lot of great friends on the internet that we admire. You know, we have a young lady, Miss Vera Squire. She's an author. She have this book. She has several books, matter of fact. City in Ruins, Black Gumbo, New Orleans, a City in Ruins. So she's updating that copy, and she's going to send it out to us, and we're going to share that with you. And we're going to have her to come on here as often as possible to share her writing experience and to encourage us. And she's also a poet. You know, during Black History Month, she was on the program, and she read some of her poetry, and it was very inspirational and very encouraging, and I really enjoyed it. And the book is great reading also. So we encourage you to go to the Amazon and pick up a copy of that book, New Orleans, A City in Ruins, Black Gumbo. And so, and I got a copy of that book here also. I'm going to pull it out, and I may do some reading of it and show you. with you some of the titles of that book there. But we're going to go on here with the program. And I want to share with you today Granny's Place Ministry. That's a ministry which sponsored this program. So we want to say hello to Beverly Beasley and her staff over at Granny's Place. Granny's Place is a nonprofit ministry that's meeting the needs of our young men and women at risk. Granny's Place Ministry is have a mentoring program, have life skill courses, have job placement, help young men get ready for school with the SAT test and college preparation. And also Granny's Place Ministry have adopted an apartment in the Mesquite area at Creekside Villa Manor Apartments on Jim Miller Road. That's a suburb, that's a location here in Dallas, Texas. And I think that's 2700 Jim Miller Road. But today about noon, Granny's Place Ministry, along with other ministries, are hosting a Easter egg hunt for the residents over at the Creekside Villa Apartment. So we're going to be over there with her about noontime, and we're excited about what God is doing, excited about those residents having an opportunity to see God's hand at work. And you know what Granny's Place Ministry is doing is reaching out and letting the residents and the young people know that they are able to accomplish the things that God put to their hands to do. And you would hear me say that quite a bit because I'm very sincere about that, because sometimes we feel like that we just can't do it. Sometimes we feel like that all hope is lost. But Jesus came in just at the right time. What time was that? When the time when you woke up and say, hey, I can't do this thing no more. At the time when you gave up, that's when he came in. He came in just at the right time. And so we encourage you to be involved in this ministry, be involved in the life of someone else. I think that's my co-host on the line this morning. We're going to check it out and see. Good morning, Mr. Daniel. Good morning, Mr. Daniel. Let's see right here. Let's get it right here. Good morning,
hello?
Mr. Daniel.
Good morning, Mr. Daniel. Lewis. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I saw you on that. I tried to get to you in time. You know, what we're doing is just going back over some things that we've been involved in for the last 6 years. I was sharing with our listening audience, it's been 6 years coming up here in May of broadcasting. I was sharing with you, I never would have believed it, man, when I first started this. And I went before God and said, God, I don't know how to do this. And he said, you don't have to do nothing. I'm your program director. And guess what? He hadn't failed me or you yet.
Lord. Yeah, a lot of time has passed since we've been doing this, Reverend Lewis. You know, we did a lot of changes. A lot of changes happened between you and both of us, you know. And I think we've matured a lot in those 6 years.
Yeah, and you know what? We're different people. We ain't the same person we was 6 years ago. And so, like you said, a lot of things have changed, man. But guess what? God has stayed constant in our life, though, Rick. You know that?
Yeah.
We done lost stuff. We done gained stuff. But God has always been there, bro. That's awesome.
I know in my personal life, I have matured a lot since I've been in y'all doing this you know, this chore that God kind of, you know, like you said, he kind of put it on me too, ordered me to touch the lives of people through speaking and talking. A lot of this gift that I have that basically I prayed to God and I asked him to give me a vehicle that I could, you know, use in order to show and communicate with people. And, you know, in order to show them that how much God really cares about you.
That is so true. You know, this morning we are having an open line here. We don't have a guest on this morning, our guest. And so we just wanted to share with our listening audience some things that we've been involved in, give them a recap of some of the shows that we had been doing, and maybe some of the potential shows that are coming up. You know, it's always good to sit back and reflect, man, because, you know, we don't want to rush over any of these things, man, because we have some great shows, man, with some great topics.
Yeah, I know I've found a whole lot of people, you know, that really made an impact in my life, and basically I wanted to try to show everybody else what kind of, you know, impact they could put on their lives also, you know, through, you know, speaking and telling about how God has used them and changed their lives and instructed them to do things. Basically, you know, I look at how, you know, even in your life, you know, I have seen you change. You came from Deacon Lewis, now you're Reverend Lewis, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, all these things that came in through, you know, we were given a chore. And basically, sometimes you really want to give it up, but we didn't give it up. We kept on doing it. Some days I had to do things. Some days you have to do things. Some days I couldn't even be on the online. But then again, at the same time, I was still there with you, you know, listening on the side. Basically, right now, I'm sitting right here in the auto place, and my car being done, you know what I'm saying? But I never stopped doing what God told me to do. You know,
and that's really speaking a lot, man. Because a lot of times we get bogged down with things and we get overwhelmed. But you know, God be pulling on us, and we be thinking that it's just too much. But you know, the scriptures say, "Hey, I'll never put no more on you than you can bear." Yes, it gets a little frustrating, man. But if God puts you in it, you can handle it. You know, and that's what we try to tell our listening audience and a juvenile. You know, I do juvenile ministry.
Yeah.
And today we're going over to the Cottrell House, and we're doing a program. We are doing a birthday celebration for our young men because, Ricky, I was told by some of the staff and some of the facility operators that the young men in the juvenile had never celebrated a birthday. Can you imagine living 18 years, man, and nobody have never acknowledged you on a regular basis of a birthday? It's, you know, when you get an adult, you say, well, I don't really care about it. But as a kid, you know, birthdays and holidays and, you know, people just never acknowledging you. So, and, you know, and sometimes you grow up bitter, man. Sometimes you grow up just resenting things, you know. And you don't want other people to celebrate stuff, so you're angry. And, you know, Brother Daniel had dropped off the line there for a minute, but as I was sharing with you, that's crazy, you know. And so what we're doing, we're going to go over to the Cottrell House today. That's a juvenile facility that's on Military Parkway, 7929 Military Parkway. And we'll be over there today from 3 to 4. Men's few of the ministry team will be going over there. And that's part of our ministry. It's called Free Only Inside JM, Juvenile Ministry. And Brother Daniel's back on the line there. And so we ask you to pray for us as we go over there. Now, Brother Daniel, thank you for calling back in.
Yeah, you know how it is with these phones. It drops a lot of calls sometimes. So, you know, like, can I make a little plug today, man?
Go right ahead. We got open line today.
Okay, today and tomorrow we're having a, at my church, we're having a play that I'm in the play too. I got a big part in the play. You know, I'm one of the Roman soldiers. You know, and it's kind of like a small time production that we're trying to do. My pastor, he kind of wrote the screenplay through the scriptures, but at the same time, we're gonna have sound effects and music and everything to go along with the screenplay.
That's great.
The play is called The Last 12 Hours of the Life of Jesus Christ. And you know, like when Jesus got crucified, he went through a lot in those last 24 hours. Basically, they kept him up all night. They took him from one judgment hall to another one all night. They sent him back from one judgment hall to another judgment hall. They sent him from the Herod's, and basically King Herod beat him too. Not only the Romans beat him, But Jesus' own people beat him and scorned him and spit on him. But at the same time, they couldn't really kill him and punish him because it was against the law for them to do things because they were still up on the rule of the Roman Empire. So basically, they had to take him to King Caesar, which was Pontius Pilate was in the charge of that region over Judea. And he had to put the final judgment out on Jesus. But at the same time, he couldn't find anything, any flaw, anything wrong with him. You know, just like we said, just like a lamb that goes before sacrifice.
Yep.
You have to inspect it. Make sure it has any kind of blemish or any kind of flaw, anything that's inside of him. But he was a sacrificial lamb. But at the same time, what I'm saying is at this place, we're going through all the different scriptures, which I believe it was Matthew. Matthew mostly has the complete dialogue of what happened that day, because all the four scriptures, mostly all of them had different parts that basically when you see a story, everybody has their own opinion about a story, but at the same time, you still leave something out, right?
Yeah, because, man, you've seen an accident. We'll see it. We'll see the same accident, but we'll have a different take on a different view of it. So that's so true.
Yeah, there's a different view of everything what happened that day. Luke has a certain opinion. Mark has a certain opinion. Matthew has a certain opinion. And John has a certain, description. And all these different descriptions are all coming to one basic description of what happened that really was a night when he got through when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. Hold up for a while.
I'm glad Brother Daniel brought that up, because last night I attended a program which a lot of us as Christian we attend to Friday nights, those Friday night programs, Good Friday programs. It was the last seven sins of Jesus Christ from the cross, and it was a great program. We had some great speakers, and each speaker took on one of the last seven sins. And, it says, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do, out of the book of Luke, the 34th chapter. And, forgiveness is a hard thing for each and every one of us to do, because you're so angry, you're so bitter. You say, I'll never forgive them. I'll never let them get away with what they're doing. And Jesus Christ, as he was on the cross, he looked around, and people was hurling insults at him. And he had fed 5,000. He had raised Lazarus from the dead. He had healed the sick. He gave sight to the blind. And yet some of the same people in that crowd that was hurling insults at him, you'll be Jesus, you can do this, do that. You Jesus, come on down. And he looked around and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And and that let me know that I can and I should have the strength to forgive someone. It's hard. It's hard for me living in the flesh, but Jesus Christ, man, as Brother Daniel said that he was on the cross there, Brother Daniel was saying that he had 12 hours, 24 hours of agony and persecution, but yet he still found it in his heart to forgive. Oh, that's a comfort to me. Let me know that regardless of the things that I had done in the past, that God can and will forgive me. I don't have to beat myself up. I could learn to let go and let God. Oh, let go of the anger. Let go of the bitterness. Let go of the frustration. Because God forgave me. And in a sense, it gave me the strength and the courage to forgive you. Talking about the last seven sins of Jesus out of the book of Luke, the 23rd chapter. And the 34th verse. And then the second speaker said, "But I tell you this day, today you will be with me in paradise." Christ Jesus, upon his crucifixion, there was two other men up there with them. The Bible calls them malefactors. Those are two criminals. Those are two men that had been judged and punished. They had been weighed and found wanting. They had done something that was against society, that was against the law in biblical times and laws that we're familiar with. They could have been thieves. They could have been robbers. They could have been rapists. Who knows? But they had broken law, and that they were being punished, and they were on the cross there with Jesus. And one of them started saying, "Hey, if you be the Christ, come on down and save us also." They knew about what Jesus had been doing. They heard about what Jesus was doing, but they didn't have a personal relationship with it. And one man was on the cross. He looked over to a guy that was on there with him and said, "Hey, you foolish man, we deserve to be here. Yes, we messed up. We got caught." You know, a lot of times when people are doing wrong, when they get caught, they say, "Well, I got to pay the price. I done the crime." You know, and so some people, they realize that, "Hey, I deserve to be this thing. And, you know, I was selling drugs. I got busted. I deserve to go to jail. I was stealing. I got caught. So I deserve to get caught, you know, to go to jail." And this other man said, "Hey, I done this crime. I deserve these things. And but please, Father Jesus, remember me when you get to your kingdom." I love that. That's a sign of repentance. "Hey, I'm sorry, God. Can you forgive me? Will you please remember me? My heart goes out. I want to turn this thing around." And Jesus looked over at him and said, "Hey, today you'll be with me in paradise. Not tomorrow. Not next week, not when you had to come down and do something to make amends, but today you'll be with me in paradise." You know, I was addicted to drugs and alcohol. I have a coin in my pocket that they call a 12-step program, as part of 12-step program. And one of the steps was to go out and make amends to those people that you hurt, those people that you mistreated during your addiction time, doing your alcohol or your drug addiction, doing whatever you're doing that you wasn't at your right mind. And once you've been restored and recovered, you to go out and make amends. You know, some people don't want you to make amends. Some people say, "Hey, I remember what you done to me, and I will not forgive you. You know, I'm not going to let you get away with this." And then sometimes you say, "Wow, I'm trying to do my best," but they will not let it go. And Jesus said, "Hey, today you'll be with me in paradise." He said, "Regardless of what you've done, You accepted me and accepted my Father, you come on up here." That's a comfort to let us know. You know, and that's why so many times we say, while you have breath in your body, while you still have full faculty of your members, accept Jesus Christ, for he is Lord and his Savior. Brother Daniel, you back with us?
Yeah, I'm back, Reverend Lewis. Yeah, you know how it is with these oil changes and going to these customer service centers, man. They keep you waiting a long time, man. Now, that's one thing about having a new car, man. You don't have to change your oil. You don't have to pay for nothing. But I'm saying you paying for it, but, you know, for the car, so you might as well get the luxury that goes along with it. But
that's
I'm
so
glad
true.
You're talking about that, Reverend Lewis. You know, like some people won't forgive you for things you do, and even though you offended a lot of folks while you was in your sins and the things you doing while you was in your addiction, you know, a lot of people forget about a lot of folks they hurt when they did. They were going through smoking all that stuff and drinking and all that kind of stuff. You hurt a lot of people. But
yeah.
Then again, you know, you got to go back and look and apologize to some of those people, man, and ask them to forgive me because I wasn't at myself. I was on the influence of this spirit, which drugs are a spirit.
It is
a spirit that from straight from hell that comes into the world in order to hinder and to destroy marriages, to destroy lives, destroy kids, to make people walk around acting crazy and hurting and killing and murder. You know, at the same time, until people really realize that this is even the judicial system, that they won't even realize, man, you know, if you go in the courtroom and say, "Hey, why did you kill this? Well, I was up on the influence spirit." They won't buy that. That judge gonna give you 99 years, man. You know, man, what's wrong with you, man? There's no such thing as no spirit, man. But at the same time, you swearing on the Bible. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You swear on the Bible to uphold it, but they won't uphold the scriptures that basically when it says you have to learn to forgive your fellow man in order to be accepted by God.
Exactly.
That's basically what it is.
I was sharing with the last seven sayings of Jesus. We did that last night along with a lot of other churches for Good Friday. And, you know, they was talking about, you know, Jesus said, saying, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then he told the thief that today you'll be with me in paradise. You know, a lot of times God will forgive us when we can't forgive ourselves. And God is looking for us. We're never in the point, Ricky, that we're out of the reach of God. You know, even in our worst condition, man, God is still available. Can you imagine that? That's why they say even on your deathbed, man, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you can be saved. This man was hanging on the cross, and he's about to die, man. He didn't come down. He didn't go on and being reunited with his family. But Jesus said, today you'll be with me. And then he looked out and he saw his mother and he saw John. And he said, woman, this is your son and this is your mother. And I love that, Ricky. Even Jesus, he came to die for the world, man. But yet he took time out for his family, man. He not only died for the sins of the world, but he also...
Understand this too, Reverend Lewis. You know, there's a scripture in the Bible that said even Jesus' own brothers didn't even believe him. They didn't even believe him, even his brothers, because, you know, they was kidding the Mary. But at the same time, they saw all these miracles and stuff that Jesus did, but his brothers still didn't believe, and they thought he was just talking. And so until that time, then they saw him on the cross, and they thought back, and they thought about it. He did say that. When I go back, they're gonna put me in the earth 3 days, and I'm going to come back and claim my church. but we all are human. We all flesh. And basically, you know, I would say he was kind of real, a heavier boy of Peter and them. And they basically, they didn't understand, you know, till they saw it. And then he said, you're going to do greater works than I do. And basically, Peter and the rest of the apostles, they did do greater works more than Jesus. They, you know, they went forward, you know, and did the things that he couldn't accomplish, because his main task was to die for our sins, you know. And, you know, when we're talking about how people don't forgive, I'm going to go back to this little situation where I was looking at TV the other day. They had this trial about O.J. Simpson. And I don't know why I'm coming through that today. This man was an international football player and movie star and all that. But at the same time, you know, despite all the riches and the fame that he had, you know, basically, I would say he never gave, you know, any acknowledgement to God. You know, God had helped him. You know, I really can't say this man did it, but basically, what I saw, I never saw him, you know, give God any recognition. But at the same time, when you get in trouble, then people start calling back and want to go back and say, oh, God, are you, you know. But even though everything he done, God forgives O.J. Simpson, you know, for what he did, or if he didn't do it, you know. But if he go to God and ask God to forgive me for what I done, then whatever people say, it don't matter. You know what I'm saying? He forgive everybody. The only thing that they say that's unforgivable is murder, self-murder, right?
Right, yeah.
Blasphemy.
Blasphemy against the Holy Spirit.
Blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. So, basically, what I'm saying, now we're going to talk a little bit about political ideas now. Now, I was reading the other day that Obama, you know, he has the power to let people go, you know, on his last day in office.
Yeah, they have something set aside. They give you a presidential pardon. and they've been doing it for years.
In fact, the last 8 or 9 months ago, Obama has been letting a lot of people out of jail. Mostly people that have drug cases, right?
I hadn't heard anything, but go right ahead. Rick.
Yeah, a lot of people have been released from the federal penitentiary from a lot of these drug charges that they had put on them about mostly 20 years ago when they were getting big time for being, get caught with all this cocaine and crack. You know, a lot of these judges were giving these young guys, 30 and 40. I done been locked up. I know a couple of dudes I grew up with, me and you grew up with. Man, we haven't seen them for a long time.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, you see them, I just got out, man. I was a dog, man. You've been locked up 15 years, man. But Obama has the power to pardon people. So what I'm saying with this, about 3 or 4 weeks ago, Obama let this kingpin go. His name is Big Meech. You ever heard of him?
No, I hadn't heard of him.
He was a big-time kingpin. I think he was out of Atlanta. And, he had done a lot of stuff, man. You know, basically, you don't know who he is, head kill, or who he's put contracts out on, or whatever. But look at all the hurt and the misery and the pain he has inflicted on the lives of people through this act of selfishness that he's doing in order to trying to be rich by using this substance and putting it on people, you know what I'm saying?
Right. And I understand what you're saying.
Through pushing this drug on people. But at the same time, Obama used his power to basically let this man go. The only restriction he had was that he's not making any money on writing books and writing movies and stuff on his life. You know what I'm saying? I'll let you go.
Okay, what are you saying?
I mean, what's the comparison on letting a man that that has hurt people, maybe kill people, maybe hurt folks, or maybe, you don't know what he's done. But at the same time, you got O.J. Simpson locked up. Basically, he was proven innocent at first. But at the same time, he did something, and he got caught up, and basically, he got sentenced to 30 years.
Yeah, he been punished
for a crime. Well, what I'm saying now,
And yet, Rick, O.J. was foolish at what he had done. I'm saying that personally because once you had been acquitted from that crime, you should have separated yourself from that situation. But he was angry and bitter, and the people and the lady family was angry and bitter, and he got caught up in something that he should have had good counseling. He should have had, like I said, Christ in his life and been surrounded by godly people. Because he tried to take matters into his own hand. You know, the scripture tells us the battle is not ours. It belongs to the Lord. And O.J. knew how effective the legal system was.
Mm-hmm.
And he should have used the legal system to gain back his property.
Yeah.
Instead of him going over there and manhandling it. And just like you. You know, you and me. You know, we have a problem with a company. We can't go over that manhandling thing. You see that so much people. I lose my job. I'm gonna go back and I'm gonna shoot up I'm gonna shoot them up because they did me wrong. It was discrimination. Why don't we get us a lawyer? Why don't we try to fight that?
Yeah, but basically what I'm saying, Rem Lewis, what I'm saying is, the man's been locked up about 6 years.
Yeah,
he's a certain age now. He's getting old. He might eventually die in incarceration. So basically, if you got power in order to pardon a man, give this man a second chance. That's what I'm saying, Rem Lewis. At the same time, I'm saying to forgive. You got to learn how to forgive, too.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think really O.J. Simpson he's a murderer. Was he trying? trying to kill this guy. They said he pulled a gun on him. Really, that's the main charge on that they put on him. He drew a gun on a man.
Robbery when he went and got his stuff back.
Yeah.
But, you know, Ricky,
yeah.
a lot of times it takes society to forget. And then O.J. needs people on his behalf. That's petitioning and letting people know, hey, O.J. deserved to be pardoned. See, that's what I'm saying. He still needs people in his corner that's writing letters, that keeping the case in the public eye. You know, this movie is bringing that about. Maybe later
yeah,
on you'll hear about people saying that, hey,
too.
We need to free
yeah.
O.J. You know, we need to pardon him. He done served his time. He's been punished, and he's very valuable in the country and society because of the things that he had done. He's almost like a treasure, you know, if I can say it that way, historical treasure, because
yeah,
he won trophies
yeah.
and he was an outstanding citizen, and so he
yeah.
should. But, you know, think about the other sports athletes. Sport athletes, they have it rough. They have all the spotlights, all the acknowledgement thrown on them. That boy, when they get in trouble and when they fall from grace, think about the baseball player that's not going to make it to the Hall of Fame until he died. You know, Johnny.
Who's that, Rose? Pete Rose?
Pete Rose. Yeah, Pete Rose. You know, Pete Rose, he was a great baseball player. How about playing, mm-hmm. man, with passion?
Yeah.
You know, he played hard and he was very successful. But yet, he got caught gambling. And they had never forgave him for that.
Never.
And so our athletes, man, just like football players, star athletes, man, when they fall from grace, man, it's hard to recover from that. That's why on the cross, man, Jesus said, hey, today, your sins have been pardoned. Today, you'll be with me in paradise. You know, they didn't have to go and redo things. And we're going back to talking about the last seven sins of Jesus Christ from the cross. And then as he talked about his mother. You know, Ricky, it's a blessing to be able to help people, to encourage people, and restore people. But when you're forgetting about your family, forgetting about the one that are close to you, Jesus told his family, he said, hey, I got to go about my father's business. But yet when he was a child, check this out. You remember in Luke 2 and 52 when he had got left back at Jerusalem during the Passover and his family forgot about him, so they went back to get him and they found him at the temple with the elders and he was talking and listening. And they said, hey, Jesus, come on back home. Why you do this to us? He said, hey, I'm about my father's business. But yet he left with his family and went on back home. He still honored his mother and his father.
Yeah,
and even up on his death of his cross, man, he still honored his mother. He was a son of God, but he wanted to make sure his mother was taken care of. And he gave his mother to one of his faithful disciples, John. You know, John the Beloved.
Mm-hmm.
You know, last night of this minister was talking about that he gave it to John because John had compassion. John was loving.
Mm-hmm.
John was kind. And Peter was anxious. Peter was unpredictable at times in his life, and Peter was
Peter
a little rough.
A little rough.
And Peter was.
Peter was basically like a redneck. You would have said, you know, like he was a redneck kind of guy, rough and tough.
Wait a minute, you think
fishman,
he was
a rough fisherman?
He was just a rugged. He was like a mountain man. Let's say he was like a mountain man. But, you know, and I thought it was really interesting. The minister last night said, would you leave your mother in the care of someone like Peter, you know, a judge? Because judge was kind-hearted, tender, and loving. Peter was rough.
Mm-hmm.
Peter meant good, but he was just rough. Get in there. Take your medicine. It's time to go to bed. Come on. You need to go to the doctor. So he left his.
I look at it, too. I read a lot in the scriptures. Every time Jesus mostly did things, Peter always came back and questioned it, or either had something to add to it. What about this man, Jesus? What about him? And should we make a temple? And you know, when they went up to see up the mountain, and they saw Elijah and Moses up there, and Peter said, "God, why he always had to say something all the time?" You know, But basically,
Peter's like,
I look at it like
Peter's
this.
Like you and me. We wants to question the thing. But guess what? Jesus always, he answered him, but he rebuked him at some time. You know, Jesus said, hey, Jesus, I ain't going to let him kill you. I'll be there with you. He said, be quiet, Peter. You don't know what you're talking about. You know, so...
Yeah.
But I was just sharing that, man, the last seven sins of Jesus from the cross, man. Then it goes on to say, I thirst. You know, Ricky, it's a blessing, man. And it's something to be noteworthy that we thirst for the gospel, man. We get up every morning with this thirst, man, that the world can't quench, man. Jobs can't quench. Relationships can't quench. Drugs can't quench. Alcohol can't. But it has to be. It has to be that living water. Yeah,
living
it has to be that living
yeah.
water, man. We thirst. Jesus was on the cross, said, "I thirst." That was the human side of it. But that let us know that sometimes we're gonna be thirsty for things, but things of this world. But only that at living water can quench that thirst, man. Then he goes on to say, "For it's finished, man. The work that he was sent to do is finished, Rick. You know, Ricky, we work jobs and we do stuff around the house and we do things for ourselves. And when we finish things, you know, it's a joy to finish stuff, you know. When you had little projects and you finish them, you look back, you'll call up your friends and say, hey, man, I finally finished that. You do yard work, you'll go out and look at it. When I finish doing my yard, I go in there, stand around. I go tell my wife, look up, look at it, I done finished. You know, we take joy in finish. Imagine Jesus, Ricky. After you say he went through 24 hours of agony, he went through 12 hours of agony, man. He was on the cross, and he still looked around and he looked up at the Heavenly Father and said, it is finished. For this purpose I came. Can you imagine that, man? He died for me and you, and so we can have salvation, man. While we toiling here in this earth, man, we get up each and every day. We don't know what to expect, but we know that we have a high priest that went before us, man, and it's been finished.
Okay, let me give you an address to this. This play is called the 12 Final Days of Jesus, the 5 hours of Jesus. And it's at 6601 Hampton Road. And the name of our church is New Birth Church International. And our pastor name is Pastor Stephen Cross.
And what time is the play going to be?
At 10 o'clock.
At 10 o'clock,
doing the service. Doing the service instead of the regular service. We're going straight into the play.
All right. It's on Hampton Road in the Oak Cliff area. That's great.
Yes,
though, brother. Now, y'all only going to have one showing?
No, it's going to have just one showing. One showing. And we invite everybody that wants to come. And you know, like a lot of people, they, you know, you don't see them until they come to church on Sunday. You know, but
right, yeah.
If you come to church Sunday, you got a good, you know, treat, you know, something. And we're trying to win some souls, especially on Sunday. You know, a lot of people join churches on Sundays. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, you're getting them in there. Basically, you're putting the message, you're planting the seed and hoping that, you know, maybe you change, maybe you come back. At least I know we got to you. We got to you this day. Even if it's just this one day, we got to you this day. And you got in your mind to understand that you need Jesus. You know, there's no way around it. You know, I get in trouble.
Yeah.
I go to drugs.
Yeah.
You know, I look around. I drink. I want to drink. I want to get drunk, man. You know, don't feel bad. I tell you what, even if you want to get, you know, you feel like you've been drinking or something, you still can come to church.
Yeah, you can.
You know, just don't feel bad. God knows
you need to go.
At least you're trying. You know, I was always told that the church should be like a hospital, Reverend Lewis, you know. And what's all in the hospital? Sick people.
And sick people, yeah.
And
people
sinners.
That need some help.
So,
you know, yeah.
So some of the people in the house, you're going to look, but that's part of being a minister. You minister to the sick people. You know, no sense of being in the church if you will. I mean, you can be there. And you can sit up and well, I'm full of the Holy Spirit. And my dog, man, we all fall short. We all fall short, Reverend Lewis. Nobody.
That is so
not
true.
Even the angels. Not even the angels. Not even the angels of heaven. We all fall short. Satan was one of the angels He was a master angel. He was a minister of music. He was so bold. He was brilliant. Even his whole body was music. And basically, you look at it, well, that's how really Satan gets the most people through music. Right?
Right.
Through music. He
yeah.
was the minister
yeah.
of the choir, the heavenly celestial choir. His whole body was music. Music and sound. Sound. You know what I'm saying? And basically, the control that mostly he puts up on people are through music. And you look at it, most of the disputes about church goes on through music. And I can attest to this, Ralph Lewis, because I'm a musician. And basically, I have seen a lot of people basically come up short through disputing music. I know one guy, and you probably know him too. You ever heard of Billy Preston?
Yeah.
You know Billy
Preston. Yeah, I know
Preston,
Billy Preston. Yes, sir.
Billy Preston was, man, Billy Preston was a master musician. But his main problem was trying to figure out what side of the street he was going to be on. You know what I'm saying? He didn't know whether to stay in the church, or he didn't know whether to stay with the Beatles, or stay with rock and roll. And the same struggle went on all his life. All his life. He could whoop an organ, man. You ever heard him play?
Yeah, yeah. You know, we had a few albums by Billy Preston. We used to listen to Billy Preston.
And some of the main stuff of Aretha Franklin and Jane Cleveland Maine, most of that was Billy Preston, man. Billy Preston was a master organist and a keyboard player. He could play, man, but all his life he basically had a problem with trying to figure out whether he wanted to, you know, serve God first or save the world, you know. And, you know, Satan's biggest weapon was that music and that power he had through music with him. You know, I'll give you the ability to play with the Beatles. I'll make you rich. Same thing you told Jesus, right?
Yeah.
If you bow down and serve me, I'll give you all the things in the world. I'll give you all the power. Right? If you just bow down and serve me. I let you be the number one musician in the world. I let you play with the number one rock and roll group in America. In the country, from out of England. Yeah, that's where they came from. Yeah. Man, I just look at it, man. I, you know, God, a lot of us just don't know. Look at the power of what we have in our hands. Just by accepting God and Jesus. You know what I'm saying? All this power, if you really just serve, he'll bring you everything. All you got to do is wait and be faithful. Right?
That's it. And that's
all you got to do is be faithful.
And faithful.
You know, but humans, we all being humans, we just can't wait. We wanted to have them overnight. We want the fame and the fortune and the money. But, you know, it's a price. There's a price behind it. You know, you're going to die early. You're going to die on drugs. You're going to die using drugs. You wind up killing yourself. I knew a guy last week. His name was Emerson Lincoln Palmer. The guy that played with him. Man, he killed himself. He was 71 years old, man. God, look at all this money he made. But what would make a man take a gun and shoot burglar's brains out?
Yeah. You know, the influence he had in people's life, because you still remember. You know, a lot of times we just think about our own self and selfish, and we just don't realize that it's other people, man. When we do things like that, we're hurting other people.
Yeah.
You know, when people take
their
lives and people
do what happens. Suicide is. It's almost like you're trying to. Basically, you're trying to hurt somebody through killing yourself.
Yeah, you hurt your whole family.
That's why most time they leave a lover. They leave a lover.
and even love.
Trying to explain their action. You know, Rick, when I went to different counseling and teaching sessions, man, and it was saying that a lot of times we have to realize that we hurt people that as we getting hurt, that other people go through what we're doing. It's kind of like the other people are part of our addiction, our bad habits, our lifestyle. And we always say, it's only me, but it's more than you. When your wife is acting up, it affects you. When your kids are not right, it affects you. When your finances isn't right, it affects the whole family, man. So we can't
the
just say
family.
It's just me. It's just my life, you know.
Yeah.
You know, it's more than that. And that's a small-minded person. Those are people that don't have a relationship with our Lord and Savior, man. Because when Jesus looked around, it said that he wept. When he knew that Lazarus would die, he wept. When this lady, that her only son, that they were having a funeral procession, and Jesus, they said Jesus looked around and he felt compassion and he wept. And when me and you do things outside the will of God, it breaks his heart and he weeps. But he sent us a way out. He sent us words of encouragement through people. Because God, let's face it, man, very seldom that God is just going to speak to us in heaven. You know, just say, hey, Joel, go over across town and do that. He will speak to you through a prayer. He'll speak to you through someone else, you know?
He'll send people
to
the confirmation.
Be co-laborers of what we're doing, you know? And so, you know, it's good for him to just speak to you. But a lot of times, God will speak to us through people, places, and things, through events. Like how he spoke to Peter. Peter was out fishing, right? And Peter hadn't caught anything, but Jesus came and said, okay, now cast your net on the other side. I could tell you that you're going to be blessed, but I could show you that you're going to be blessed. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, come on, Peter, it'll be all right. You'll catch some fish. And he said, no, just cast your net on the other side. And Peter said, wow, man, look here, man. You are the God. You are the Savior. You told me what to do, and I did it. You know?
Yeah, basically,
so
he's testing your faith.
Yeah. And God does that today, man. By telling, when we tell people, man, you can get your job. When somebody says, I don't have a job. Man, yeah, you can get a job, man. Have you considered this? And you say, well, I'm going to go and try it, you know, but I don't think nothing's going to happen before you know it. Hey, man, I got that job you told me about. I just told you I want to get a job, and next thing I know, somebody call up. You know, that's what that is. That's like the word of God, man. That he's speaking to us, to someone else. You know, he's just using us as a conduit. We'll encourage each other. Then we have to be encouraged by other people also.
So Raymond, what you got up for today now?
What we got up for today?
We got to find 10 minutes of the show. We got to.
Well, I'm glad you asked that, Brother Daniel. Before I go any further, I have this book in my hand here, this Miss Vera Squire, and that's a Squire, Squire. And she's the author of this book. I'm holding my hand, a beautiful book. It says, Black Gumbo, The Healing of a City in Ruins. And she's speaking about New Orleans. And I thank Miss Vera for her book. She's sending me an updated copy of the book. And she's a great poet. And I would encourage you to go to the website and pick up her book. I'm looking at her card here. Now, you can order this book on AmericanStarBooks.com and also at Amazon.com. You can order this book here, and we'll put a posting up on our Facebook page. And also, this book is available on Kindle eBook. That's where people can order books now. I ordered a couple of books offline there. It's a Kindle eBook. You could actually get a book, and you can have it on your tablet or your iPhone or your smartphone. So
saving
great
paper.
Reading. Yeah, that's great reading. And so we encourage you to go and pick up that book. That's Black Gumbo, The Healing of a City in Ruins. Amen. Speaking of New Orleans and Katrina. You know, Katrina was something that woke up the country. The Katrina, that storm in Katrina. It set things in motion. It really brought more attention to New Orleans and kind of let people know
I would say God basically did a cleansing. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you could say that.
Even with water, it's just the act of just flushing. And basically, I think that really what happened was those people really got a better way of living through doing that. What happened, you know, God works in, like you say, God works in a mysterious way. A lot of the people, it came up.
Yes, they did.
A lot of those,
and that's so true. Miss Beryl was able to write a book out of her experience. So it all wasn't bad.
I know one guy. I know one guy right now. He's an international trumpet player now. He's playing with Kurt Franklin, man. His name is 34. You know, not saying that he wasn't really doing that much, but, you know, God moved him from New Orleans playing, and he came to Dallas. And basically, he stayed around here for about 10 years. Now he's making pretty good money, man.
Oh, man, that's great. That's good.
Yeah.
Hey, brother, before you go any further, I want to share with you what I'm doing today. What we're doing today, at 12 o'clock, we're going over to Creekside Villa Apartments. That's 7900 Jim Miller Road, I believe. We're going to do an Easter egg hunt over there for the resident.
Uh-huh.
That's an apartment unit that the ministry I'm a part of, Granny Place Ministry / Free on the Inside, JM. That JM is for Juvenile Ministry. We go over there three times a month, and we minister to the residents. We have computer training classes over there in the rec room. We have job preparation, some life skill courses, reading program, after-school program on the given weekends. You'll have to go to our website, grannyplaceministry.org website, to see what activities are going on for a given weekend. And Beverly Beasley, along with LaShondra Lewis and several other volunteers, put together that program each and every week. We've been doing that for about 2 months now. So that program is up and coming, and it's getting off to a great start. But we do need volunteers. So if you know anybody, if anybody would like to come over, please give us a call at the number 214-505-6526 and ask about what I could do to assist Granny Place Ministry and Free on the Inside over at the Creekside Villa Apartments on the weekend. And we're only over there about 2.5 hours a weekend. We usually go from 12 to 2 o'clock, and sometimes we go from 11:30 to 1 o'clock. It just depends on the weekend and what we have planned. And also, we're going over to the Cottrell Juvenile Center at 3 to 4. We're doing a birthday presentation over there for the young men that's over there. Cottrell House is a halfway home for young men. These young men have been to juvenile prisons. They've been to youth prisons. So they're getting out, and they're getting placement back in with their homes and their families. And so some of the young men are just going out on their own. Some of the young men are getting apartments on their own. But they're also getting sponsors, and they're getting mentors to help them navigate, to keep them out of that lifestyle that allowed them to go to juvenile. And some of the young men are going to the college, and some of them are going to go to the service. But a lot of the time they just want to have a good life, and they want to be productive citizens. And we want to encourage them. And so what we have is a birthday party / going away party, because some of them are going to be gone there pretty soon. But we want them to know, no matter where they go, you know, that the love of Christ Jesus will be available for them. You know, David said, "Where can I go to flee from the presence of the Lord? You know, if I go to juvenile, he's there. If I went to the other parts of the earth, that means in the service. If I went to Alaska,
you know, even
Japan,
if you're going to
Hawaii,
hell, God and Jesus is still in hell, right?
Yeah. Well, he'd have been there. He ain't there now, but he'd have been
there.
He'd have
been there.
Yeah,
yeah.
So that's no place that we can go, even on the cross, man. Even at at the worst state of life, he's right there with us. So that's good, man. That's good. That's good. He's right there.
That's one thing.
Another
thing. He went to hell too, didn't he? He went to hell for us.
Yes, he did.
Ooh,
man, and we got a minute before we get out of here, Ricky. Now, again, tell us about the play and the time, and encourage people to come on out.
Okay, now the play is today, the twelve final hours of Lord Jesus Christ. It's at New Birth Church International. It's at 6601 Hampton Road. It's in Oak Cliff. The pastor's name is Bishop-elect Stephen Cross. And it starts at 10:15. And so everybody's invited. Everybody invited, and bring your mind. Be your mind. Let your minds be open, and in order to interpret what we got. We got sound effects. We got costumes. Reverend Lewis, I got a costume. I got a costume I got to put on. You know what I'm saying? I got a Roman hat, Roman soldier hat. I even got me a little sword. I got me a little sword, man. I got me a little sword. I got me a little cat of nine tails thing. I'm going to be whooping. You know, we got blood, too. We got some artificial blood. You know what I'm saying? We're going to put, we got a cross we're going to put up there, too. We're going to let him, we're going to go into detail with this, you know? So y'all can basically, I can see the pain and the agony our Lord Jesus Christ went through. We can't go through with it, but we can go through a little description to understand it. Could you take this? Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
You see that? A lot of them can't take it.
Yeah.
You can't take a little pain. You know what I'm saying? So this pain get on you, you ready to jump ship. I got to go, man. I can't. No. You got to. It's just like being with a Christian. You got to take some pain. You know what I'm saying? You got to talk. You got to take being talked about. You got to take. You mean it is pain. It's pain. You know. Oh, Lord, I can't talk. Well, I'm going through it.
So we got to get on out of here.
Yeah. You got to be here today. I'm ready today. Deacon Lewis, Reverend Lewis, we're there with the power of Jesus.
Thank you very much. We're getting ready to get out of here. God bless you. Thank
all
you.
All right.
Resurrection Sunday, man, and give God to the glory. Looking forward to seeing
thank
you.
Thank you.
Looking forward to you.
We got to be free.
Free on the inside.
We thank you. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for this day that was not promised to us. Dear Lord, as we look back and if we reflect upon what you've done on the cross, dear Lord, we thank you for the forgiveness of sin. We thank you, dear Lord, for accepting us, dear Lord. For we realize that there's nothing too hard for God. Lord, we messed this thing up along the way, but you looked around and you said, hey, all is well with thee, dear Lord. Dear Lord, let us be encouraged, dear Lord. That you're always in our life. Let us be an encourager to someone else, dear Lord. Someone else needs to see your hand at work, dear Lord, throughout nature, dear Lord. As we woke up this morning, we beheld your glory, the glory of the only begotten Son. Dear Lord, we ask you to bless Brother Daniel. We ask you to give him the knowledge that you're for him and that you love him. Dear Lord, and tomorrow as they perform the program, dear Lord, that's honoring you. Let hearts be changed, dear Lord. Let souls be rich. Let there be a thirst, dear Lord, for the men and women that's in the program, the women and men and women that are watching the program. Let them have a thirst for your Son Jesus. Precious Lord, watch over us through the remainder of the day. We ask you to be with the residents over at Creekside Manor as they present a program for our young men and women, and let them see God's hand at work. Dear Lord, we ask you to encourage our young men over at the Juvenile Center. Let the young men know that they are valuable, that they are needed by God. Dear Lord, we pray these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Until we meet again, keep everyone safe. Keep everyone
amen.
In your will. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. And see y'all next week.
Free on the inside with Brother Daniel and myself. Minister Lewis, looking forward to being with you next week.
I want to be free. Free on the inside.
Amen. God bless you. Talk with you later, Brother Daniel.
See you later. All right.
I want to thank everyone for being a guest on the program. Thank everyone that's been a part of what we're doing. Amen. Looking forward to speaking to you next week. God bless you.
Amen.